the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. Well, our sports reporter, Ryan Pyatt, has had a very busy summer traveling to Paris to cover the Olympics and some of the London athletes that were competing. He's also gearing up for the fall sports, including the Western Mustangs football team and all the coverage there. So we got lots to talk about today. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Rachel. Yeah, it's good to be back in Canada.
Well, okay, let's start with the Olympics, because that's got to be a career highlight for you to go to Paris and cover these games. How was it? How were you feeling going into it?
Yeah, I've been to the Olympics three or four times, but this was, I mean, when I went to Sydney, Australia in 2000, that was fantastic. But the city of Paris, like, I've been there a few times before, but during the Olympics, it was just unbelievable to be a part of that atmosphere. Now, the first week and a half, I landed on the plane in at Charles de Gaulle in Paris, and I got sent to a place called Saint-Étienne to start covering the women's soccer team. And as soon as I got off the plane, there was a major scandal with the drone spying scandal that kind of, you know, ended it with the coaches getting sent home and stuff like that. So it was wild. It was a wild and crazy first week and a half of the Olympics. And I wasn't in Paris. I traveled around to different places, Nice and Marseille in the south, and it was 40 degrees. And, you know, obviously as an Ontario boy, I couldn't handle that for very long. And it's not very well air conditioned in I found in France. It's not like it is here.
Yeah.
They skimp on the air conditioning. So that was a tough. But, and, you know, obviously the team lost. And as soon as the team lost, I went back to, took the train back to Paris and, you know, covered a grab bag of things. And I went to beach volleyball for 3 days. And, you know, obviously I got the pictures that everybody saw. Of all the highlights, I'd say, you know, the beach volleyball at night by the Eiffel Tower, you know, looking at that site. And you see that, you know, the Eiffel Tower every half hour kind of sparkles, unbelievable venue, an unbelievable thing to be a part of. That's probably what I'll remember when I'm, you know, when I'm older is mm-hmm. is that site. And you know, I thought the only Canadian gold medal I saw was Katie Vincent in a photo finish in the canoe right at the like the second last day of the Olympics. So I wasn't a medal hawk. Sometimes you go and you see like, oh my God, you see all these medals and stuff like that. I didn't really go to the track much. Or okay. Swimming, so that's where the bulk of the medals are, right? So, but I did see one Canadian medal, and that was a pretty cool moment. And yeah, I saw some of the for people that didn't go, like some of these venues are like you know, the Grand Palais where Taekwondo was and fencing. It's one of the nicest buildings you'd ever see, right? Like and you know to. Wow. To see the volleyball by the Eiffel Tower, you know, it was like you said, it was a career highlight, and you know, I appreciated the opportunity for post media sending me.
Absolutely. Were you covering like specific sports, or was it like something different every day that you had to go to? You
yeah,
were at soccer for a week and a half, so you did that for a while.
Yeah, so I was with the soccer, and it's kind of like a World Cup where they play a game and then they move on to the next city, practice, right. Day off, play a game. And so that was kind of, it was, you didn't really feel part of the Olympics. You're in cities where it wasn't in Paris. But once I got back to Paris for the, I guess I'd say the second half of the Olympics, man, I felt like a really part of it. And every day I was going, you know, cycling to diving to something else. Right. So, you know, and it was, obviously I was charting the London athletes and, you know, it was interesting games for the London athletes. And, you know, obviously, one of the neat things was I'm in Paris walking around, you know, probably eating a baguette. I can't remember, but
some good, you know, cheese, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a baguette, cheese and ham, really. And and there's the bus goes by, like the city bus, and there's Damian Warner, like big face and on it. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, just the reach. Yeah, you know, we see Damian practicing at Western all the time, and you know, we see him around town and you don't really think of that, but this is like this is the Olympics, the global stage. And he's one of the main characters, right? So it was really cool.
The best of the best. Talk about the buzz. Like, what's the vibe like in Paris when you were kind of around, everybody's all together around all these venues and all the sports, the athletes are walking around, there's spectators, reporters, everybody's kind of there working and viewing. What is that like?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 10,000 athletes, 6,000 reporters. You know, it was just like unbelievable. And across the world, you know, it's one of the few events, right, where everybody's kind of, you're hearing all kinds of languages being spoken. And, you know, I just like, Paris is to me the greatest city in the world. I know, yeah, I've been to New York and I've been to a bunch of different great big cities. And, you know, it really just was, I had never been part of something like that in such a great, it's just a great city if you just go on a regular day, but to go on the Olympics, it was just so amped up and everyone was so excited. And I had heard, one of the best stories I had heard was, you know, every time an Olympics comes, a big event, like it's kind of like construction in London here. You can't wait for it to end, right? And a lot of people leave and they go on vacation because obviously you go to the south of France where I spent some time. There's the beaches are, you know, you're by Cannes and you know, Monaco and stuff like that. The beaches are incredible, like some of the best in the world. And people head down there for a week or two and just kind of escape the city. But I think what happened was after the first week, people realized, and France did have an amazing Olympics, that the athletes were incredible. People are like, we're going home. We're cutting our vacation short. The people, the Parisians said, we're coming home because we're missing out on big parties every night and something really special in our city, right? So, you know, I think that's, and I could really feel it when I got back there, how special it was to everybody there. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, it's, you kind of get in the local jokes, like nobody could believe that they were actually swimming in the Seine River.
Yes, you know, exactly.
You know, like you saw the pictures of people like, you know, throwing up after they did the triathlon and stuff like that. And then, you know, we saw all the memes, so like you're kind of in your own bubble when you're covering the Olympics and doing your own thing. But, you know, the Turkish shooter and the, you know, with his hand in his pocket and you see, and the pole vault, the poor French pole vaulter, you know, we saw that
we feel that bad for him? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It might have cost him a medal, but we, you know, some of that stuff every night, I kind of look at some of the stuff that was going on. And, you know, people that I wasn't really involved in the ceremonies. I'm there for the sports. I didn't really, I kind of watched it on the side, but, there was a lot of controversy about that stuff. And, but I find that some of that stuff is hard to watch. Like it's like a parade, but it was on the water and it would have been hard to see everything. I kind of like everything inside a stadium where you can get the whole, like almost like a movie theater where you can get the whole experience, kind of like the
can closing see it on the Tom big Cruise screen if you need to.
That's kind of it. And I had a great time, and I'd love to go again, no matter where it is, right? Whether
of course
because the Olympics is, it's so much fun. You could be sitting there watching beach volleyball, but then you can tune into there's Olympic TV that was offered, so you can watch anything that's going on in any other venue. And as a sports fan, it's kind of like sitting at home watching, you know, you're watching an NFL game and you switch to some sort of baseball game or hockey game. I love that kind of stuff, right? Watching sports that way.
You got it all on at the same time. Yeah.
There's a lot of stimulation. It's like going to Vegas, right? There's a lot of stimulation. And the food, you know, Rachel, like say the food was, like I had three or four, there was a lot of late nights, so you end up eating pizza, but you know, pretty good pizza. But you know, I did get to sit down three or four times and eat one of those Parisian cafe, you know, three course meals, and you know, where you're like can barely get up after, and it was just a special experience. Some of the places I ate at were like kind of looked like a local place, but you know, there were, you could tell that the chefs were like amazing. Unbelievable, like four-star blue, whatever you call it, blue seal chefs or whatever.
Yeah, right? Michelin. What an
Michelin
experience.
Stars whatever.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
What an experience. Yeah, yeah. Did you get to see a lot of the London athletes? I know there were several, of course, that we were following. Some that we were really hoping for medals from. We did bring home one to London anyway.
Yeah, Alicia Newman got a bronze, and I really felt really good for her. You know, she's gone through a lot of trials and tribulations and a lot of self-doubt over the years. It seemed like she, you know, I talked to her about a month before she went over there, and it seems like she hired a psychologist, kind of like a mental coach to help her. And I think it really did help her. And, you know, a bronze medal, in that competition is just as good as a gold in terms of like, you're right there. Right. So I think she knows that, getting on the podium, and, I felt really good for her. And, you know, obviously you know, she twerked after she finished the top height there, and that doesn't surprise me the way Alicia is. And you know, like, but an amazing story. Like, I want to say, from the time when she got hurt in London doing gymnastics, to deciding, what am I going to do? I'm a good athlete. What am I going to do? And she went into this. What a great story. And, you know, obviously, you know, Damien and Maggie McNeil, I've obviously become close to over the years, of talking to them as much as I do, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maggie, before this event even started, she had accomplished everything you could accomplish. I feel she's on the Mount Rushmore of London athletes, right?
She really is, yeah.
And maybe she doesn't get the credit she deserves, but she's fantastic. And we'll be reading about her for years. She'll go on to do amazing things after she retires, and maybe after next World Championships or however long she goes. I think she's done Olympic-wise.
Yeah, this was her last Olympics. Is that what she said?
Yeah. That seems. I mean, in sports, you never know, right? Look at Scott and Tessa coming back, right? You know, we thought they were done after Russia, and they came back, and they were better than anybody. But yeah, she was in a tough. She was in one of the. I would say it was the toughest swimming race there was, that 100 butterfly, and then she kind of got unlucky with some of the relays that she had won medals in. You know, I think Summer McIntosh ran out of gas there on one of the. They had some. You know, they just ran out of gas near the end to get a medal. And then Damien, of course, was heartbreaking. You know, again, Damien's accomplished, you know, Olympic champion. No one can ever take that away from him in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And he got it, you know, that's the decathlon, right? You can have one bad day. And I want to say, I talked to him a couple weeks before he left, and I showed up at practice, and they were working on the pole vault, and it didn't look like it was going. It didn't look like they had a very good day. And you're like, well, they got a couple of weeks left. Maybe they'll have a few more practices at it. And he just couldn't get it. It's an unforgiving event. If you don't clear the three, you know, your three chances, you're done. Right. And just like the throws, and, you know, I felt really bad for him, but again, like he's might be our greatest athlete of all time, right? Like I say that you all got to throw some of the hockey players in there, right? The Doughtys and Corey Perrys and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, to me, Damien's a special person. Even better, like as good as he is an athlete, he's a better person. And I think he said he had an Instagram where he's going to keep going. Sounds like he's going to keep going. He's never won a outdoor world championship. You know, he's had some. He got hurt in a hamstring last time he was going to win. So
now he's one of the older athletes. Do you think he'll come back for the Olympics?
I don't know. I mean, he keeps himself in animal condition. Like, he's in tremendous shape. So you know, he would be 37, 38. That's pretty tough. It seems like it's a young guy man's game this time. But you know, like we'll see how he does and how his health holds up. But again, fantastic person. And you know, I felt really bad for him when that happened. He looked like he was heading for a medal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesse Fleming was the captain of the women's soccer team from London as well. And you did get to cover them. I mean, they lost in the quarterfinals, but pretty awesome to see her play, I guess, at the Olympics, right?
Well, that was, I mean, we could talk for an hour about that scandal and all what they went through, the FIFA taking points, but you know, I thought Jessie was very stoic throughout. We would talk to her nearly every day. And, you know, she was very upset at what was happening, like a lot of the players. You heard from a lot of the players. She's a little more low-key when she does her interviews. Like, I know Vanessa Gill and Janine Becky got a lot of the headlines. But, you know, Jessie was out there front and center, you know, talking every day. And I felt, again, like Damien and like Maggie, I felt heartbroken for Jessie because she got a head injury during the game against Germany, the knockout quarterfinal game. So she wasn't able to take any of the penalty. They had to sub her out, medical, you know, like the concussion protocol. She had to come out of the game. And I thought that was a bad stroke of luck because when they went to penalty kicks, if you guys remember, Rachel, if you remember from Tokyo, she was nails in the penalty kicks. Like, she's one of our greatest. Everyone talks about Christine Sinclair, but who would you want more than Jessie Fleming taking a penalty kick? She showed proved that in Tokyo. She's awesome at it, and she never got to do it. And I thought that got them off on the wrong. Like, obviously Quinn scored, but then Jessie would have took the second one, maybe put some pressure on the Germans, and it never happened. And they lost, and then you know, like, we hate penalty kicks here in North America, but they love them, and in Europe they just love the kicks, the drama of the kicks. But it's an awful way to lose. It feels like you might as well flip the coin. right?
Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. So only one medal came home to London, the bronze by Alicia Newman for pole vault. But did we expect more? Were we were hoping for sure from Damien Warner, Maggie, but even Maggie was saying, you know, I did what I could do last time, so I was okay if I didn't win, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like one medal for any city is great, right? Obviously, Toronto, some of the bigger cities, Montreal, they're going to win a few medals because they got just by mass with the number of people they have. But, you know, we look at what we had last year in Tokyo. I don't think anybody thought we were hopeful we could replicate that, but we just didn't have the number of athletes. And then you're in sports where one little bad thing happens, as we discussed, and you're out. So, you know, the Alicia Newman medal may be surprising. You know, so that's what happens. Sometimes every Olympics, sometimes some favorites stumble and then somebody else jumps up. And that's what happened there. And that's a great medal for Alicia and for the city. And we keep our streak alive, right? So we go to the next Olympics and we're going to have people, like Julia Tunks coming up in the discus. And we're going to have other athletes coming up that are, you know, going to be medal contenders when they get there. So, you know, I don't think London is done cheering for Olympic champions anytime soon.
We've got some great athletes here, that's for sure. Yeah. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit because we got lots to cover today. We'll talk about some other athletes at Western, the Mustangs football team. They just had their very first game, not the home opener yet, but their very first game against Ottawa. How did that go? How's the team looking this year? What are we looking at this year?
I think we talk about this every year like a broken record.
They're
Vanier Cup contenders. They're ranked number two in the country behind Montreal, who beat them last year. They got everything you need. They're a year older. I think they were a bit of a younger team last year. They got all that veteran experience coming back. You know, obviously everyone's going to look at Evan Hillock. I thought he was a little pedestrian. He's getting used to, you know, new receiver combinations. They didn't really connect very well in the first game in Ottawa, and it led to a lot of early field goals. But then they put the game away with typical Western fashion. They had, you know, they ran the ball, like their power ran the ball, like they always do. Like it's like a tradition there from back when Greg Marshall played, even before him, right? And they run the ball down everybody's throats. And then, you know, they had some great defensive plays. They had three interceptions in the second half to close it out. And they made some plays on special teams, some block punts and stuff like that. And, you know, I just looked at, when I was watching them, Ottawa's not, you know, going to be their main competition, but Ottawa's a real good, solid football program, and they just shut down their quarterback. They didn't give them anything. They made two plays basically, Ottawa, and that was it. And you know, you're starting to see like, oh my God, are they going to go 8-0 again this season? The Mustangs, maybe they will. Right?
Okay. All right. Because last year we won the Yates Cup, in the UTEC Bowl, but. Can we do it again? Do you think we have an older team now. We had some players that were off at the very end of last season hurt. They're back now. How's that?
Yeah. And so I think the two main ones is at running back. They were very short, but I mean, they're always deep at running back, but they were missing Keon Edwards and Keanu Yazbek, who are their top two rushers. They both broke their ankles late in the season last year, and they couldn't play in the playoffs. And so to win the Yates Cup like they did was just shows the power of the Mustangs program. I mean, Laurier is a very good football team. Windsor, Queens, all very good, like top 10 programs in the country. And they got through that. But Montreal was a different beast. Montreal probably had the best defense I've seen since I started covering this a couple decades ago, decades ago. So, you know, they were a little too much, right? You got to have all your power. And if they had Edwards and Yazbek, but they might have did something against Montreal last year. They would have put the heat off Evan Hillock, right? They just rushed Hillock every time and forced him into some bad throws. But so Ottawa, Edwards 104 yards, Yazbek 103 yards. So you can't stop that, right? And then you know they make one or two good plays. I'm excited to see what Hillock could do. I'm excited to see what backup quarterback Jerome Rancourt. I thought he's worth the price of admission to come watch. The guy can run. He can throw the ball. He's right now behind Hillock, who is one of the best gunslingers going in Canadian football. But this guy, they're using him as more into packages and short yardage packages. And he threw the touchdown, the one offensive touchdown in the air that they did get. What a dynamic player. So he'll be fun to watch when he gets in there. And I think they're going to use him a little more than they have, the last couple of years, which is exciting. And defensively, I always like, obviously up front, you love to have the guys that sack and tackle and all that. I always love the guys that can get interceptions and the guys at the back, right? And I think this Canadian Football League has become a bit more of a passing, wider open passing game. And they got three interceptions. They got some unbelievable players. Kojo Odum was out for 2 years. He's come back. He's a shutdown corner. Jackson Finley, like, if you have the best safety in the league, you're probably going to do pretty well. And I think he's the best safety in the league. He's been phenomenal. He played great against Ottawa again. He was great all last year. He's going to be special, and he'll play in the CFL one day. Yeah. There's no question about that.
So it doesn't sound like we are losing any momentum heading into this season. It sounds like we're doing pretty well. Are there any new rookies? Have you had enough chance to see the team this year? To any rookies we should keep an eye on? Newcomers?
Well, yeah. It's not like the Knights, right? So in Western, you call rookies, but they might have been here for 3 years and not played, right? They've just been learning the program. They're redshirted and stuff like that. So not a ton of rookies come in and play for the Western Mustangs. You got to be like Andy Fantu's special to kind of crack the lineup. So, but there are guys, there are a bunch of kind of new faces. And one thing which is really heart wrenching on the weekend is Ben Cottrell, who's basically the third running back now. He earned that spot behind Edwards and Yazbek. He had a great touchdown he was part of the special teams and had a great touchdown, a punt recovery and ran it in for a score. But then later on in the game, he got hurt, and we're just trying to wait to see what the doctors say. He could miss several weeks. It could be an injury, a lower leg injury that, could keep him out a while, which would be a shame because he's fun to watch run the ball. He's a great special team player. Daniel Kabongo, as a returner, I find him one of the more fascinating guys that I've seen watched return kicks for Western. I mean, every time this guy touches the ball, he does a couple of shakes and he gets going, and he's really exciting. And I think people like to see that, right? You don't like to see guys just get the ball and then like kind of get 4 or 5 yards. This guy's capable of scoring some touchdowns. Off of punts and kickoffs. So that's pretty exciting to have. And that's in close games, that's sometimes the difference, right? So when you're playing the Lauriers, Windsors, Montreal's, Laval's, you might need someone to run something back to set something up. And this Kabongo is perfectly capable of that. Now, he was here last year, but played sparingly because, you're about 10th on the depth chart when you're here at Western, right? And then, but he's getting a chance to play. And the receivers, I think, Seth Robertson had a good game. I want to see some more from Braden Mazzieri, Molson Jamal, also older guys, but they're getting a chance to step up. And, I think they're going to need to throw the ball and even out that offense, right, to get going. But, defensively, you're going to see Malcolm Fraser. He's going to get a bunch of sacks once he's healthy. He missed the first game. He was a little banged up. And, we do have some guys at Western that are, in their fourth, fifth, sixth, even one in their seventh year.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. School. Who do you think is the Mustangs' biggest, our top competitor this year? Do you think it's Montreal again, or?
Well, yeah, if you look nationally, so, you think of what happened to Western the last 2 years. They played Laval in the semifinals the year the Vanier Cup was here, and that's a tough matchup. And then they played Montreal last year in the semifinals. So they get away from that now. So they're going to play this time in their national semifinal. They play the Atlantic. St. Francis Xavier or something like that. The last time Western played the X-Men, they beat them about by 60 or something like that in the semifinal. Wow. So you got that to look forward to. You don't have to play one of the Quebec powerhouses in the semifinal. You can actually, there's a path to the Vanier Cup. But I think winning the Yates Cup, they've done it the last 3 years, but this is going to be tough because Laurier comes back with basically a lot of returning players, and they're right there with the Mustangs. Like, they played a couple of barn burner games last year. They play at Laurier this time, but I'm sure they're going to meet in the playoffs again, whether whoever first or second seed is. Windsor's really come on under J.P. Cercelli. you know, obviously London guy, went out over to Windsor. He's done a great job with their program, made them more consistent and more disciplined, which is what that program needed. And then, you know, you got the Ottawa, Carlton's, McMaster's. I should say Queens. Queens is still in that mix too. Queens is good every year.
Okay.
And, you know, it sets up pretty good, you know, and then there's still obviously the weak sisters of the league that, you know, you can beat on by 40 or 50 and that sort of thing. But, you know, this will be, to me, the toughest year in the last couple that Western will have to go 8-0. Like they could, you know, there could be a stumble here because there's a lot of good teams and they're obviously playing on the road, you know, at Laurier. And then they have Windsor late in the season in London, which to me is going to be one of the games of the year is Western and Windsor. And I should mention, you know, before we go that Western did, I feel like they've made a move that kind of completes their stadium and they did finally put in a video board. And I'm really excited for the people that you will watch the games and the students for when they come, maybe they will come to all the games because this video board adds a little something to the fan experience. I've been to the other, you know, I've been to McMaster and I've been to some of these places that have the big video boards. And I think it's going to really add something. Now they wanted to have it in time for the Vanier Cup a couple of years ago, but they never got it done, but everyone that goes will see it. And I think it'll be fun. You know, rather than just your traditional football game, you'll have a little more like kind of like what you see at the Knights games and stuff like that, or we will see
elevates.
At the Knights games.
Elevates it a little bit.
Yeah, elevates the experience. And, you know, that Windsor game is going to be a phenomenal game. And I think if you're a football fan in London, you're going to want to watch that one. And they, you know, they obviously open this weekend, a night game. And the night games are fun, right? They play they got the light show going and all that.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed for my time, you know, when I started covering at the Free Press Sports, I've always enjoyed the football game.
Yeah. So, okay. They're going to play September 1st is the home opener.
Against Waterloo. Yeah.
All right. And you got the new board and we're ready to go. It'll be a great team. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. I'm so happy to hear that you're back from the Olympics and safe and sound and that it was a great experience for you. We're certainly going to watch your reporting and right after the Mustangs game on September 1st. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Anytime. Thank you.